Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. For those of Iman, those people who have Iman, faith, Allah ta'ala has stated that after having Iman, after bringing about Iman, faith, the most important thing, the most important factor in your lives is Allah Ta'ala's ma'rifah. Allah Ta'ala says, is my ma'rifah, is my nearness, is my love, and is my pleasure. My pleasure. Every mu'min, every person who has Iman has this destination, has this end point that Allah Ta'ala's ma'rifah should be attained, Allah Ta'ala's nearness should be attained, Allah Ta'ala's love should be attained, Allah Ta'ala's rada, Allah's pleasure should be attained. This, or these, for all people of Iman, is a message. This is a message for all of those who have Iman from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. MashaAllah, everybody is striving, making attempts and efforts in their own way, according to their own capacity and thinking, to get close to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us many different ways and paths and practices through which we can get close to Allah. We can attain His nearness. We have the fara'id, we have the compulsory deeds, we have ibadat, we have worship. But the pious predecessors, our pious elders, have stated that to get to Allah, to go on that path, to embark on the path, the journey to Allah, the amount of breaths that we have breathed and we will breathe, there are more than this many paths and ways and methods to get close to Allah. So to get to Allah, there are so many paths, as many paths as the amount of breaths that we will breathe in our lives. So it cannot be difficult, can it, for a human being, an individual, to get close to Allah. For Allah Ta'ala has given us so many ways and methods and paths to get to His ma'rifah, to get to His nearness. Then the insan, the human being, should try. He should work hard. If Allah Ta'ala becomes happy, then all issues are resolved, aren't they? Because the objective is again to reach, to get close to Allah Ta'ala. The dunya will be made and the akhirah will be made if Allah Ta'ala is happy. I remember my Hazrat Nur Allah Marqadar, I remember his unique and special statement that Hazrat, my Shaykh, used to do a dua after shaking everybody's hand, that may Allah be pleased with you. Allah razi thiye. Hazrat would say in his own dialect that may Allah be pleased with you. Subhanallah. So this was a specific dua of Hazrat, that whoever Hazrat would meet and do salam with, then straight Hazrat would say this dua, that Allah tere tu razi thiye, that may Allah be happy and pleased with you. What a great dua. If these words come from the wali wala and they become accepted, then imagine the what's achieved. The path will open up, the doors will open up. So this was a shortcut that Hazrat would say, that Allah Ta'ala, may He be pleased with you. And if this occurs, then end of story. Success is achieved. So today, let's discuss this point, that let's investigate and assess the paths to attain Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. Hazrat Qutb al-Aktab, the great personality of his life, Hazrat Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi, has given us a statement. There's an event upon this point, and a beautiful statement he made rahmatullahi, that there are all different paths that take us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no doubt in this, but there's one such path. What a great personality who's saying this. We need to think, that is this not something we need to bring into our hearts? Rather, we should embed these words into our heart, so that they don't leave our mind and hearts. Isn't this true? Will we do this? So don't let these words leave and go beyond your minds. Otherwise, if we do, then we have failed. We need to embed this on our hearts, memorize it, inshallah. Inshallah, Allah willing, we will not leave unsuccessful from this dunya. We need to remember these words. And he stated that there are many paths, and especially us, we, you, me, that we make efforts on this, we are trying for this, we are trying, aren't we? That Allah becomes happy with us, Allah Ta'ala becomes happy with us. There's a path that we have embarked upon. So Hazrat stated that the point here is that there are many paths, but there's one path which is very easy. and it is extremely full of benefits and advantage, and it is unique and a beautiful path that takes a human being to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat said that very quickly a person gets to Allah through this path, through this method. It's such a shortcut, a great way, a brilliant method, fantastic method, and a shortcut method that quickly takes the individual to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a great statement. That if somebody is seeking Allah, this is reality, then that here a person, if we hear the sayings of a wali wala, and if we tie the knot on his statement and practice it, then we'll get somewhere. But we say many things. Oh, we want Allah to be happy with us. Oh, please Hazrat do dua for me. Oh, focus on my heart. Oh, Hazrat say something for me, do something for me so I can become good. Everyone says this to his sheikh or to his teacher. Fine, that's fine. There's no doubt that the attention and focus of a wali wala does have effect. Company of a sheikh does have effect, there's no doubt. But we need to try something ourselves. We need to initiate the steps ourselves, that we need to make the ground firm and fertile, so that through the love and attention of the sheikh, that something can then occur and be achieved. So this is the point here, that this is about desire, about want. But what we need, if I need to earn money, I want to earn money, I'll get up early, set the alarm clock, wake up early to go to my shop. If I have to go to work, then I won't sleep all night long, that I need to go to work, that I need to go to work. And if it's the season of earning, then a person goes mad of earning. Oh, he has the desire for money, he tries. So in the same way, those who have the desire to attain Allah, then alhamdulillah, they try in the same way. That subhanallah, that their life is made alhamdulillah when the people hear what the wali wala has to say and they follow the prescription and the advice, then alhamdulillah the doors will open. And this is such a great personality whose words I'm repeating to you, that whatever he said, he didn't take these words out of his pocket, did he? He had an experience, he heard this and he learned this from his pious elders. It wasn't just something that he made up along the way or whilst the journey was being progressed. No, his great favor upon us that he has delivered his advice to us. This is his great ihsan, a kareem, merciful, that we are sat in Bolton in this masjid for a little while. We are gathered together. Allah Ta'ala has gathered us. Okay, we'll do some dhikr and we'll discuss with each other some points, and the great words of a great personality have come to us and we're sharing these. And if we tie a knot on these, what a great guarantee. Hazrat said that this path is easy, is beneficial, is full of rewards, and the path that we are trying to travel on to get to Allah, very quickly we'll get close to Allah, is akmal, is ajmal, and there's extreme benefit in this path, and there's no way we can lose, and love upon love of Allah that will be attained from this path. Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their love, it comes extremely quickly through this path and this practice. Rather, on top of this, the people who embark upon this journey and who utilize this path and method, then this path is called suluk. The path that takes an individual to Allah, it is termed suluk, the journey of suluk. And mashallah, you are champions of this for many years and you know all these points. So the person who embarks on this journey to Allah, he is on the journey of suluk, and the traveler is the salik. So the salik is the traveler traveling on the journey of suluk, this specific journey to Allah. So the salik who travels on the path of suluk to reach Allah, wujahidu fina, then he makes effort, mehna, and striving. If not today, tomorrow, someday he will get there to the destination. Which destination? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the musafir, if not today, if not tomorrow, someday, some month, some year, eventually the salik will reach the destination. And then there's another path of jazb, subhanallah. What is that? That's jazb. What's that path? What was that path? It's not the salik, but Allah ta'ala draws upon the traveler, subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah ta'ala pulls, draws. Allahu yastabi ilahi man yasha. Allah ta'ala himself draws, pulls on his traveler. So Allah Hazrat said that the path of this is not the salik, but it's jazb, that Allah ta'ala pulls on that person and draws that person near to him. So on this specific path that we're about to discuss, that Hazrat has advised. So it's not the path of a salik, it's the path of the stronger pull, the jazb. So what do you think? Should we leave this path, this advice? If we are sad, if we're honest, we have desire, then today don't leave this masjid until and unless we make a true, solid, packed promise with ourselves. I didn't know about this method. I was off track. I didn't even know. I was deviated. I wasn't even paying attention to this method. What a great saying of Hazrat Gangohi Ramtar, and we're going to pay attention to this from now on. This is what we should say. So on this day and age, we're talking about the great day and age. Hundreds of thousands of people have benefited from this saying. How many decades and generations have passed between Hazrat and us? Look, my Hazrat Nur ala Marqada saw Hazrat Rashid Ahmed Gangohi Ramadan. My Shaykh stayed in the company of Hazrat Gangohi Ramadan, and I stayed in the company of my Shaykh. And so obviously some fares will have come. There's such a great wali wala. If you see a wali wala who saw other walis wala, you'll get some benefit in it. The how many generations that the Prophet ﷺ was seen by the Sahabi, and the Sahaba were seen by the Tabi'een, and the Tabi'een were seen by the Tabi'een. This current continues. So if my Shaykh saw a great wali wala and sat in his company, and this humble seven sat 17, 18, 20 years and picked up the slippers and the shoes of my Shaykh, then some fares should have been received by me. We're still the donkeys and the animals. We haven't taken the benefit from the company. So you don't do the same, okay? Don't repeat this. Rather, implement the formula of success that if I'm passing on this learning, you should learn from this. Attain the benefits. It's obvious that Hazrat, my Shaykh, said that I saw Hazrat Gangohi Ramadan and he said this. So this is the third generation after that, and I'm telling you, and very quickly you can attain this destination. So Hazrat Gangohi Ramadan said, what is that path that will give us quickly the nearness to Allah, and it will be just, and that is to implement and obey and adhere to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say subhanallah loudly, subhanallah. Today we have desire and zog, but when we speak about the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we start to, our legs start to tremble and shake. We say, oh, how can we do this in this day and age? How can we implement? How can we displease other people around us? No, tell me some other method. I can do hajj 50 times over, but I can't practice the sunnah. I can do umrah, but I can wake up in the night to pray, but I can't practice the sunnah. I can't adhere to the sunnah. I can't imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this is the path, that the person who has followed this path and practiced this path of the sunnah, and whilst trying to seek Allah's nearness through this path and through this method, that Allah, we want to attain your nearness through the sunnah, then tell me, the person who has done ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi al-Kareem, and his first footstep is to follow the sunnah to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to become a salik to get to Allah. He doesn't remain a salik, rather Allah pulls on that person. Allah drags that person towards his nearness, and that person gets great status, great ranks, glory. And the person who stays behind, he'll stay behind, he'll lose out, and he'll stay in the corner in the darkness, and they'll listen to sayings of other people, and for the sake of other people, leave the deen. No. The point here is that such a great conclusion, that by practicing the sunnah of Rasulullah, then alhamdulillah, there is obviously some difficulty that the nafs has, there's some mujahidah. This is not a minor thing, is it? That eventually, alhamdulillah, we see here that a person opposes the nafs, goes against them, and this maqam comes that the whole dunya is on one side and the other side is one individual following the sunnah, and everyone thinks he's mad or he's silly or stupid. That what's this dhoti, this izhar that you're wearing? That when we see this, it doesn't look good, you know, we don't see it. What is this in the morning you wear this labas and come here? Why do you wear this labas? Why do you wear this attire? It looks weird, they say, astaghfirullah. We feel sleepy when you see this in this libas, and ask the person that, subhanallah, the people are following that. The people who complain about the tar of the sunnah, they say, we are following the path of the deen. We're trying to get close to Allah. This is the story of today that I've heard from people's mouth. This is my experience. They complain that when a person follows the sunnah, he gets the jazb path from that shaykh who himself is jazb on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember this, that these ranks, this status you cannot attain from the kitabs, from the hadith, and you'll get this from that company, that already that shaykh, alhamdulillah, already that shaykh who has attained Allah through this path, subhanallah, then, for example, when you sit with such a shaykh, then the color of the sunnah will rub off onto you. And with that shaykh, if we sit down, you sit down, or if anybody sits down with such a shaykh, to sit down and to get the effect of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah, and you sit with such a shaykh and you learn this, then imagine that he's a kamil, great shaykh, and the person who leaves empty handed from his company is unfortunate, has a bad destiny, his niyyah is faulty, or his intentions and his desires faulty, but this is guaranteed. The walis of Allah said, the question doesn't arise if a person has correct intention, correct desire, wants to get close to Allah and wants to attain Allah's nearness, and he sits and has the company with a great sheikh, a true sheikh, whose life is a reflection of the sunnah. If a person, a student, sits in the company of such a sheikh, then he can never be unsuccessful. He will learn and become successful. But the reason here is that the desire has to be within. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, I see your demand, I see your desire. By sitting with that sheikh, only that person will leave unsuccessful. Only that person will leave empty-handed. Only that person will obtain anything from the sheikh. That look, we see here, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is there anyone greater than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the history of mankind? Can there be anyone greater than his presence, than his company, than his personality, than his awe? So why didn't this have the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's company have an effect on Abu Jahl, on Utbah? Abu Jahl party, all the people, all of these people, the Ubay bin Khalaf, that why did Sadiq Akbar radiallahu anhu suddenly benefit, and why did he tremble after seeing the Prophet of Allah? Because this was about the state of the heart. That the person who doesn't have the desire in the heart, who doesn't want to accept, who hasn't conditioned his heart to accept, who doesn't even want to imagine that he wants to hear the truth or learn the truth, and there's rejection upon rejection, then that person, then even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or any Nabi's company cannot have an effect. So remember this point, that whenever this situation arises, look at yourselves. Look at yourselves. That never will it be due to the lack of intensity of the sheikh's company that you don't benefit. It's because of our own desire. We don't want to attain. We don't want to learn. We don't want to reach to the target. We don't want to reach to the heights. We say, oh, how can I accept all of this in one go? This is too difficult for me. It's too hard for me. Sheikh's teaching are too hard for me. This is destruction. Allah Ta'ala says, I have given you my extreme rahmah and sent you to the company of the sheikh, and you have sat at the banks of the ocean and you leave thirsty, empty-handed. What will we say on the day of judgment? We will be drowning in the punishment from mouth until the hereafter will be regret upon regret. When he looks to the other path, on that path, those people who travel with the sheikh, what is their maqam? Then what will that person think? That, oh, I was playing with my nafs. I was playing with my desires, so I didn't understand that. Who is this person? There's such a great sign. The Quran is telling us. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has announced to us. The Ula Ikram's lives are telling us. The Ulul Ikram are explaining to us, mustanid, that this is the path in which you have failed because you disregarded the sunnah, O foolish person. That Allah Ta'ala delivered you to the company of a true teacher. Allah Ta'ala took you to that company, but your nafs did not allow you to benefit from that company. As I said this, don't know, brothers, that even if today we don't understand this point, that I have trembled from inside, I am weak, you know I am weak. But today we will have to accept that either we are genuine or we are fake. If we are not fake, then after today, which is that we've understood that there's no greater straightforward, clear, crystal path than the path of practicing the sunnah of Rasulullah that will take us close to Allah. We don't want to hear about the excuses that the dunya presents. We're not interested. We want to totally put our lives in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Come whatever may. There may be obviously a gap between our practice and what it should be, but we shouldn't even by mistake, for example, that we leave the masjid in the wrong way, we leave the masjid in the way opposite to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, purposely, instead of going in the right foot, we go in the left foot, straight away, stop, and recite Astaghfirullah and ask Allah for forgiveness and cry that how did I make this mistake? And this was the life of the Awliya Allah. Many times before I may have mentioned this event, but by repeating the events of the Awliya Allah, the hearts become illuminated. By hearing about the lives of the Awliya Allah, the hearts receive benefit. I will repeat this again. A great wali of Allah, friend of Allah, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani rahmatullahi, who doesn't know who this great sheikh is, about whom Hazrat Shah Waliyullah Delwi rahmatullah stated that this was the great personality, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani in Hindustan, in the Indian subcontinent. Hazrat Shah Waliyullah Delwi rahmatullah, great sheikh, great scholar, said that Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani, Hazrat Sheikh Ahmad Farooqi Sanandi, is that great personality who was born in the Indian subcontinent, that nobody after him, the history of the Muslim Ummah can repay the favor of Hazrat Mujaddid al-Thani. And this wasn't the case that, for example, there was one person who was standing against him, that this was the king of his time that he stood against. The king, Akbar, the Badshah, whose rule and laws would prevail. If people didn't obey, they would be destroyed and they would be imprisoned. And in that day and age, Hazrat Mujaddid al-Aftani rahmatullah alayhi said, qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He revived the deen, promoted the deen, revived the sunnah, stood firm on the deen. And that what was his khitab? The Hazrat Mujaddid al-Aftani title. No other wali sheikh has been given this title. He came after 1,000 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam foretold us that this will occur 1,000 years after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the Mujaddid alif, 1,000 years after 1,000 years. Great sheikh, great personality, agreed upon by everyone that he was the Mujaddid al-Aftani. Imagine his rank, his status, and in his maktub, in his kitabs, his writings, he included his statement. So don't put a fatwa on me, because this is the writings of a great sheikh, and this is tasawwuf. How can this happen? Oh, this is not truth. This is not haqqa. You're not giving us the right teachings, and this is not correct, authentic. And Hazrat Mujaddid al-Aftani Ramtulay said, I'm repeating his sayings, and he knows best. And he knows better. He said, until Qiyamah, till the day of judgment, that whoever is a member, a student of my order, the Naqshbandi order, and may Allah Ta'ala keep us in this order, that as I said to you before, the condition of being in the Naqshbandi order, don't leave that condition, otherwise you'll be out of this order. There'll be a big loss. Remember this. Remember the condition, or have you forgotten? What is the condition? Yes, remember that order. These are the words that have emanated from a faqir, humble servant's mouth, and that's it, is being said. The question doesn't arise. A person will be in this order. It doesn't matter if he's 50, 60 years with me in my company, but if he's left that condition, then he's left the order, he's left the jamaat forever. The wasta bil wasta, Hazrat Mujaddid al-Aftani. Hazrat said, oh Mujaddid, whoever enters into your silsila, your jamaat, his name and his status, Hazrat Mujaddid al-Aftani said that I've been shown the name and the status of that person who enters into my order, jamaat, till the day of judgment. Another statement of his is that whoever, for the sake of Allah, subhanallah, seeks Allah's forgiveness. And Allah Ta'ala said, whoever seeks your wasila for forgiveness, Allah says, I will forgive that person. Ah, this is the shan of the wali of Allah. Allah said, and his sheikh, Hazrat Baqi Billah rahmatullah alayh, who was a great personality in the Indian subcontinent, who brought the Naqshbandi silsila to the Indian subcontinent. When Hazrat Mujaddid al-Aftani became bayah, pledged allegiance to his sheikh, Hazrat Mujaddid al-Aftani, when he took bayah with Hazrat Baqi Billah, just some time after that, he announced that, look, the issue here is that all of the people who are with me, Hazrat Baqi Billah said, they should go to Hazrat Mujaddid al-Aftani. He said, Hazrat, what's this? He said that I was sent for this reason. Hazrat Baqi Billah said, I was sent to the world for this reason. What is it that I've got? Now, his situation in mind is such that he is aftab, he is like the sun, and I am the object that is benefiting from the glow of the sun. And this is the sheikh saying about his student. Allah, this was his maqam. Anyway, there are many things I could say about Hazrat Mujaddid al-Thani. So many words in his maktubat, so many kitabs. If you are studying tasawwuf, then it's stated that he is that wali of Allah who revived tasawwuf in such a way that nobody did that before him. He created the methodology about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm just giving you a little pointer before this. All of the wujud, that everything, then he taught wajid al-shuhud. And Hazrat Abdul Maqam Muhaddis Dehlvi rahmatullahi, he, subhanallah, if you read his kitab, and he has mentioned Hazrat Mujaddid al-Aftani in his kitab, he said that if I wasn't bayah in this series, then I would not be capable of writing this kitab today. And he was that sheikh who brought the deen, Hazrat Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi, brought the deen to India, through whom we have a spiritual link with him. Hazrat Sheikh Ahmad Farooqi Sarhandi rahmatullahi is stating these points. So I now bring his teaching to us, that how much mujahidah he must have done in his life and how much practice he must have implemented in the line, the path and the subject he studied. And you must think that he stayed up all night long and did hajj and fasted. Rather, he hadn't even gone on hajj in his life, and there was an event about this. So now listen to the statement of Hazrat Mujaddid al-Aftani, the great sheikh, the mujaddid of his time, who revived the deen, that when Hazrat Baqi Billah, his sheikh, passed away, then all his khulafa, his deputies, they all gathered, paid attention, and paid attention and looked towards Hazrat Mujaddid al-Thani rahmatullah, and very close murid. Imagine his status, the student. He also came to Sarhan to his sheikh and said, Hazrat, as long as our sheikh was alive, then I used to share my events and condition with Hazrat Baqi Billah, and sometimes I would fall into an emotion. Whenever I used to go to my sheikh, Hazrat Baqi Billah, he used to pay attention to me and he used to solve my issues and he'd correct my condition and improve my condition. Now he's gone, so now I've come to you, Hazrat Mujaddid al-Thani, then I will seek help from you. Please pay attention to me and assist me so spiritually I can maintain myself and be steadfast. And these are the words he said to Hazrat. So Hazrat Mujaddid al-Thani replied that, look, that I have nothing to my name, I have nothing that I can teach you or share with you, I have no muamalat, I have no great spirituality. And there's one path I have, which is the path of the sunnah, subhanallah. This is Mujaddad who's saying this. You think he will lie? He will say a false statement. He said, I don't know any formulas or potions or magic, I know one path, which is the path of the sunnah. When he said this, and he was a great, and himself, the student of Hazrat Baqi Billah Ramdari, was a great sheikh himself. When he heard this, then suddenly he became emotional. Just came onto him. He was full of emotion and a beautiful condition of coming. And then obviously the karamat, the miracle of a wali of Allah, is haqq, truth. And he was a great sheikh himself. And whilst he was sitting, he started to enjoy this statement of what Hazrat said. Then after that, he stood up. And then whilst he was swaying, then the karamat, it became apparent, and the earth beneath him, it was like he became dizzy. And Hazrat was said that, then when all of the earth beneath him started to sway, etc., and move, he said, go. And he said, take my miswak, bring my miswak. He said to his murid that, in this condition, bring my miswak. So Hazrat Mujaddad al-Thani's murid, he went, and quickly he brought the miswak. And Hazrat Mujaddad al-Thani took miswak and lay down on the ground. As soon as he put the miswak on the ground, then the emotions of that student of Hazrat Baqi Billah, they reduced and his condition became normality. Then he addressed Hazrat Mujaddad al-Thani. He said that, look, my friend, that your karamat that you showed me, and this was from your company, that the earth beneath me started to move or sway. This was your maybe karamat or your company, but this humble servant, Allah Ta'ala has also given me a status that even if I raise my hands and do dua, that Allah, that in the graveyard of Sarhan, if all of the deceased bring them to life, then Allah will bring them all to life. Allah Ta'ala has given me also karamat with the fadl of Allah, with the mercy of Allah. I've got this also. But the point is this, that you're making the earth of Sarhan move around, and my dua to make the deceased come to life, all of this, greater this and better than this, is this fact, many times over, many times better than this, is what? That at the time, a person who, if he follows the sunnah of the Prophet and uses the miswak during wudu, this is a greater miracle, greater achievement. So this is a hadith. So this, we in our eyes, has no value today. The true value is that we should practice the sunnah so much. Any individual, if he takes the miswak and does miswak during the time of wudu, then kashf and miracles and visions and trances is nothing. Nothing. Because the weight in the hereafter of practicing the sunnah, one sunnah action, we cannot imagine the effect and the reward of that one sunnah action. Allahu Akbar. So my brothers, that when we say, oh, the walis of Allah, the great personalities, the awliyaullah, the reason they were walis of Allah was due to the ittiba, the obedience and the adherence to the sunnah of Rasulullah. So we look for other things, magic and visions and other things, but this is the sign of a wali of Allah, that you can see many good experiences after staying in the company of the wali of Allah. But if you see lacking in the practicing of the sunnah, then stay quiet and return, because you will not learn anything from that sheikh. Because yes, there will be maybe a piece of paper or a certificate or a statement or a title, but with regards to thereafter, you will be not benefiting even in the slightest. The walis of Allah have said that keep on seeking the true will of Allah. Keep on adhering to the company of the true will of Allah, that the nafs of a human being can only be crushed by practicing the sunnah of the Prophet. So remember this. As a Junaid Baghdadi Ramdra, his statement is this, that I wandered around in jungles and in isolation in the wilderness. I tried to crush my desires, but my friends, listen carefully, that when my nafs was crushed, it was only when I practiced the sunnah of Rasulullah. I mean, this is the reality. So my brothers, we are all salik travelers. We are students, alhamdulillah. Remember this point, that don't waste time in life. Don't waste time in life. Don't waste the opportunities. Don't waste your ilm. Don't waste your knowledge. Don't waste your dhikr. Don't waste the ability and the opportunities Allah has given. Don't waste your efforts. Don't waste your nisbah connection. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Every breath, every second of a human being in front of us should be one factor. That what was the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in practicing? Waking up, sitting down, waking up, moving, talking. If we know that by putting the miswak on the ground stops swaying and moving at that time. But we have no value today for the sunnah. That if I to you tell you now about the example of the Sahaba Ikram, you'll be shocked and amazed that the Sahaba Ikram on this one sunnah that's so much yaqeen, and then every sunnah is adheem, great. Every sunnah is adheem and great. That there's nothing that can compare to the weight and the power of a sunnah. And the reason for practicing the sunnah is that when we make a niyyah that I am going to sleep in the way of the sunnah. And according to the way of the sunnah, you go and do wudu. And those who have the tawfiq, they put on surma. And they go to the bed and recite the dua and turn to the right. What is this that's happening? What's happening? What storm is brewing at that time? That the storm of ma'rifah, of Allah's nearness is brewing at that time. What is happening on every sunnah? Allah is giving you the jazb. Allah is drawing you near to Himself. Either we are running and trying. And on every sunnah, Allah Ta'ala draws the individual closer to Himself. Allah draws and pulls the person who practices sunnah. That's why I've seen many people, they are weak in their mamulat, in their practice, in their recitation, and dhikr, and they commit sins. But those individuals who've taken hold of the sunnah, alhamdulillah, they don't lose out. They keep on traveling on the path to Allah. They fall down, they get up, they fall down, they get up, they stumble, they get up, and eventually they get to the destination. Eventually. So in every way, we should practice the sunnah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq for this, because sunnah, to practice the sunnah is a great thing indeed. We should understand that this path of Islam is incomplete, and it's a surprising thing. I say that this is very surprising. A person says that I am trying to get close to Allah, I'm traveling to Allah, I want Allah Ta'ala's ma'rifah, I want Allah's nearness. Every person of Iman says this, a person prays Salah says this, a person reads Quran says this, everyone is doing amal says that I want to get close to Allah. Whoever we see, so then we need to justify our actions. We need to justify our efforts. We need to do insaf, justice. With our wujud, our bodies, that's such a big dawah that I'm seeking Allah, trying to find Allah. What are we doing then? What akal? Where's your akal taking you? That Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah, we start to tremble, we make excuses, we sweat, we tremble, and make excuses for not practicing the sunnah. So how then can we get close to Allah? Salah is accepted if it's prayed in accordance with the sunnah. Every salah has a daraja, rank, and the greatest salah is that salah which is prayed 100% in the way of the sunnah. That is the greatest salah. That his attire, his appearance, and his khulus, sincerity, his appearance, and if we fulfill all of the conditions and then stand for salah, then that salah will take us to the heights. Everyone's praying salah, but is it in accordance to the sunnah? So that every action will take us to the heights if it has the condition attached to it, which is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Juma is there now. So what's the preparation of Juma? That yes, what do we do tomorrow? Juma. Just do wudu and come and pray salah. You will pray Juma. We will pray Juma. All of us. But there's another preparation of Juma, which is from tonight, the night of Friday. Allahu Akbar. How? Which itar to wear, which fragrance to put on, which clothes to wear, which oil to apply, how to practice, which imama to wear, which dhoti to wear, which sheet to wear, which color did Nabi Sallam like, how did he come, how did he go, what did he do? All of the day of Juma, the whole day will be affected with the excellent effect. Subhanallah. So Juma is there. But those who go to the Akhira, everyone will have prayed Juma. But my friends will realize whose Juma benefited who the most. And how close it takes a person close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers, we need to understand this point. That how can we do da'wah on this? And we should feel ashamed a little bit, shouldn't we? That for the sake of subhanallah, the sunnah, we attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness, our Rabb's nearness, and we don't even follow the sunnah. Allah Ta'ala said, keep the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's wasta, for the sake of the Prophet ﷺ, keep this in your minds, in your practice, and don't forget him in your practice. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رُسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Allah Ta'ala has announced. So this, to think this, that I will attain Allah's nearness, I'll get close to Allah, I'll get the ma'rifah of Allah, and our footsteps on the sunnah are very weak, then we cannot succeed. You understand what I'm saying, brothers? Is this not something we should understand? And this is a great wali Allah has given us this dawah. Is this easy? Is this easy? Of course it's easy. It's not hard. It's not difficult. So just the nafs we need to suppress. We need to suppress. That if we wear the clothes according to the color of the Prophet that he liked, will we lose something? If we implement an action in accordance with the sunnah, will we lose out? Of course we won't. The ashikain, the lovers of the Prophet that, for example, Hazrat Bayezid Bustami Ramadullah was given something to eat, and he said, Hazrat, this is Jais Prophet. He said, I cannot eat this. He said, why? He said, I don't know why. But the Prophet, I don't know how he ate this fruit, so how can I eat this? SubhanAllah, look at his thinking. He said, I know it's halal, but I haven't received the dalil, the proof, the evidence that how did the Prophet eat this fruit or the melon, so I can't eat this. And that's how he became Bayezid Bustami, because he wanted to, he had caution. He practiced caution. And somebody was saying, what difference does it make that, oh, is this haram that we're doing? That we don't know if we don't know how to do this. So are you saying this is haram? If I don't know how to do it in the way, so show me the fatwa, the evidence, the proof. But subhanAllah, the ashikain, their fatwas are different. Their verdicts are different. Their destination is different. Their practice is different. Their path is different. Everything hinges on the sunnah. He said, no, I can't eat this. Sorry. The sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum, the noble companions, if they realized something was liked by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, what do you call this? And the ashiks, the lovers, they call this, they give the word sharif after the practice of the sunnah. Anything that associates with the sunnah, they put the word sharif, kaddu sharif, pumpkin sharif. Difference, isn't it? If I say this, and the lover, whatever he says, whatever is the practice of the sunnah, that the Prophet ﷺ liked this, he says kaddu sharif, pumpkin sharif. This is a great thing, because the Prophet ﷺ, the Habib of Allah, liked this. So then his way of eating will be different. So niyyah of the human being, his focus, his intention, you could eat the whole plate of kaddu, of pumpkin. People eat this and think there is something else, some other fruit. But when you consider that this is a sunnah practice, and Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to eat this, then you will eat it properly, you will seek things properly, and you will take the things out, you will seek the reward, and the taste and enjoyment will be unique as well. This is the point we need to understand. So this is the life. We just need to change direction, improve our direction. We want to become the ghulams, the servants of the sunnah. And if we obey and adhere to the sunnah, then we become Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's. This is an ajeeb statement that Allahu Akbar. What happens? What's the result? That person becomes such a human being who follows the sunnah that he becomes elevated high. In status, Allah accepts his du'as, Allah accepts his wasila, his seeking of intercession. Allah Ta'ala says, look, Allah says, this is the lover of my mahbub, of my habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naqal, imitation, every man, woman, child, children, even our children and ourselves, we need to come into Islam totally. It's nothing about arguing or quarreling or difficulty. It's easy. Yes, we're not clashing with anybody, arguing with anybody. Just we love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We want to follow his way, his practice. We're not imposing this on anyone or discriminating it. Will we do this? Is this a proper lesson we've learned today? And have we found the path today? That's it. On the Day of Judgment, we'll discuss this point, inshallah. Don't come off the tracks, not like an empty box. You say today, yes, we accept, and then we forget. No, increase your desire, increase your desire. Become a student. Don't follow drama path. That we see dreams and kush. Remember this point. Everything is a waste. Everything is a waste. I told you this before. What did Hazrat Mujaddad Adnani said? That I can do this. And the other student said, I can do this and you can do this. And you'll see dreams. And you'll do ziyarah. And you'll see vision. But first look at your appearance. That how much imitation do you have? If you have no imitation, then everything's a waste. That even if in your dream you can become the ghouths and the kutub, and if you float in the air and in the skies, and all of this happens, people experience these things. I can tell you dreams of such people, you become amazed. Hazrat, I went here, I saw this today, I saw a dream of this person and this pious person. And I was present next to Hazrat, my sheikh, and we were outside the masjid, and a person came, and he was weak, and he said, Hazrat, in the night I saw this dream, and Hazrat kept on listening. He said, this happened, and this person, and this murid, and Hazrat said, look, this point here is that there's a problem where you should be in my place, and I should be in your place. So much is your piety. So this is the point here, that this is not a life of dreams and kash visions, karamat, miracles. This has no link with the deen. The deen is that a person walking, talking should be the lover of Rasulullah, and the color of the sunnah should be in his life. And the dunya can say you're a waster and you're mad or you're fundamentalist or stupid. The more mocking received, the higher the status is achieved. Alhamdulillah. The more mocking received, the higher is the status achieved. A beautiful couplet, I tell you, that if you are linked to the thought of your yard, your friend, then subhanAllah, you are following the path of the deen like you are a madman. Doesn't matter. No precondition. Like a madman, you are running after your destination, which is the closeness of Allah. Inshallah, when we are placed into our coffins after death, then the Quran will testify by witness. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. Allah Ta'ala says that the malaika will come to you. People will see you in an empty box in a coffin being empty, but you'll be wandering around in Jannah, in the gardens of paradise. Improve your lives, improve your destiny, improve your condition. Allah has given us so much. Is this not enough? That in this great night of Jummah, on the night of Jummah, such a sinner, humble servant like me, impure, sat in the masjid, and Allah Ta'ala is mentioning his name, making me mention his name and do his dhikr. Is this not enough reward? We are sat in the majlis, that when the majlis ends, concludes, Allah Ta'ala will announce that, go, I have forgiven you. Every man will be forgiven when he departs from such a gathering. And after about this majlis, as a Shaykh al-Hadith, Mulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah has mentioned in his kitab, may Allah Ta'ala illuminate his grave. What a great kitab is written about the dhikr of Allah. What an ashika lover he was of the dhikr of Allah. Mustanid agreed upon hadith, so many hadith he collected and wrote in his kitab in a beautiful way. He collected and wrote his kitab that when you read that kitab, the noor enters into the heart. You think this kitab is not significant? Only an ashik can write this kitab. Only an ashik can compile this kitab. Only a lover can compile this kitab. He was such an ashik and lover. He selected such hadith on dhikr and he explained in such a beautiful way that we keep on wanting to read continually. And this is where you realize who is an ashik, not through words. And the history of Hazrat Shaykh was such that whenever we speak about dhikr, and he wrote about the beauty of dhikr, it's as if the Hazrat always must have been engrossed in the dhikr of Allah. This is what we conclude from when we read his book, his kitab. 24 hours, his life was an embodiment of the dhikr of Allah, his risala, his book, his beautiful kitab of dhikr. You think his life was devoid of dhikr? He wasn't a munafiq, two-faced like Aslot. Like us, when he would say, speak, explain, and he would practice in the same way. And his amal would be the same totally on this point before he would say anything. His amal already was on that platform. And today we read, and then we should think that how, with what pain Hazrat Shaykh must have written these kitabs. And that what was the message he wanted to distribute? That when the world will be ghafil and lazy from the dhikr of Allah, what is mentioned in the Quran? What is that? Has the Nabi of Allah announced about those who become ghafil? This is that qawm. This is about us, my brothers, morning and evening, those who sit in the dhikr of Allah. Those who have istiqamah, steadfastness, upas, alhamdulillah. 20 years it's been me here in this locality doing dhikr of Allah. Alhamdulillah. Those people are with me 20 years doing dhikr of Allah. And there are many others who have passed away and gone into the graves. Such people who did dhikr in this 20 years, 2 decades, they've passed away and gone into the graves as well. Istiqamah, this is steadfastness. You have seen, come to me, sat, took the company, learning. And my heart was happy. Qari Sahib, my heart was so happy. Look his maqam, look at me. But he has sold himself. He came once, came to my company, said, Hazrat, I want dhikr. That day and today, I've never seen an individual that he is ghafil and lazy from dhikr. And this is ishq. This is love. I seek forgiveness. I've mentioned his name in hastiness, out of love. Maybe he will scold me after, but ask for forgiveness beforehand, from in advance. But we should see, I'm an alim, scholar. Forget this. He said, leave the dunya and restrictions of the world. This is wealth I'm attaining. He sold himself. Such a man who sells himself to Allah Ta'ala, he sends himself to Allah Ta'ala, purchase that person. If Allah purchased the person, then when will that person go? Tell me. So we need to sell ourselves. We need to sell ourselves to Allah. Yes, that this is like the transaction that Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam went through. So sell yourself for the sake of Allah. Don't think, I am this, I'm that, how can I go here? How can I practice this? I'll be degraded. No. Sell yourself. Wherever you go in the world, wherever I'm going, this person is going with me. That one place I've not seen that a person has stepped back away from me. Alhamdulillah, never in the life have I seen. that people have run away and never have seen that he is exiting from the back door. What a maqam, such people that 20, 25 years istiqamat, and there are people 50 years who have sat with istiqamat morning, evening, and those people hear the glad tidings that this is that qawm. These are those people, and I say this openly, these are those people that by sitting with such people who have had company themselves, and nobody will leave empty-handed. It's such a great history. So if a person even comes in this gathering and sits out of a mistake, though I wanted to meet someone else, I heard he's in that gathering, okay, go, I'll sit in that gathering, okay, let's sit down. And his niyyah was not for dhikr, not for remembering Allah, and he came and sat down, then the angels have complained to Allah, Allah, we know this man, he didn't sit in dhikr, he was not a dhakir. He didn't seek to do your dhikr, wallah. He just came, stumbled upon this gathering. Allah says, be quiet. Do you know better or do I know more? Allah Ta'ala asks the angels, you keep on interfering in my face. Allah will say, this is your habit from Adam alayhi salam till now, that he didn't have this intention. Allah says, what do you know? He came, didn't he? Or she? To the gathering. That person reached, arrived. But look, where has that person arrived to that qawm, to that gathering, to that group of people? Don't look at his face, don't look at his sins, don't look at his condition. Me, Rabbul Alameen, says that when he will leave this majlis, he will have been forgiven before the majlis ends. And this is his destiny. After being forgiven, does he carry on sinning, carrying on making mistakes? But if this is the real effect of that person who sat in the dhikr of Allah, in the majlis of dhikr, and he's departed, then that person should control himself, herself, and the announcement is being made from the heavens, a person who's forgiven, then that person should feel a bit ashamed. How can he leave and then and shave his beard, or cut his beard, or see dirty films, or leave salah, or lie? After that, Allah Ta'ala said such a great statement that despite all the sins before that, he's been forgiven, that after that, can he dare to commit sins after that again? Astaghfirullah. Can there be a bigger, more shameful person than this, who attends the majlis, is forgiven, and continues to sin? Allah Ta'ala allows a person to sit in such a great gathering. Allah Ta'ala announces, after I've forgiven this person, all the previous sins have been forgiven, zina has been forgiven, stealing has been forgiven, and committing theft has been forgiven, wasting time has been forgiven. Allah says, I've removed all the sins from that person's life. Within a second, I have transformed his life into a great person, and he should be ashamed and grateful that Allah, you give me a chance. Otherwise, tomorrow, will I be able to sit again? Oh, I will keep the full beard now, one fist length. I won't watch films. I won't listen to music. I won't commit haram deeds. I won't look at women. I will try my best because I'm forgiven now. Subhanallah, say subhanallah. Does anyone receive this reward nowadays? Do people get this? Where can we get this from? If we get this from, we get it from the gathering of dhikr. And these are the gatherings of the walis of Allah, and the effects of the gatherings of the walis of Allah. There's so much to say, and we've said so much today. We cannot say about our condition. Let's now do the dhikr of Allah. Recite the ruchi.